different and so new was like any other until I kissed you.
Welcome back to another edition of Broomsticks and Butterbeer. I'm Dan Rhino.
I'm Jessica Rhino.
This is episode number 160, and we are getting close to the end of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Which is a very cheerful book.
How many chapters after this?
Two.
Two after this? I'm trying to think what the fancy word is for... Next chapter would be the penultimate.
Yes.
Chapter. And of course, we're recording. So, of course, my dog, who hasn't been.
Crashed on the couch all afternoon. But as soon as we got the stuff out, he got super excited.
Hasn't been playing with toys. Definitely hadn't been playing with anything squeaky in days.
He just wants to be a part of the activity.
Just noise? We're just making noise?
That's what he thinks.
Now, you all know I don't pick favorites, but Harry, he is my favorite.
He's just looking at us now.
Before we get into chapter 28 today and recap chapter 27, a reminder that Jessica and I are coming back to Fan Expo Chicago. August 15th through the 17th, 2025, hosting our now famous Harry Potter trivia event.
Oh, it's now famous?
Now famous.
I thought it's been famous.
No, it was well liked and well received before, but now it's famous.
Oh, okay.
Going to be taking place at 12:15 on Saturday the 16th in Programming Room B, as in boy. And you can get tickets at, I'd been given out the website fanexpohq.com, which will work, but I think, good
he
lord,
got a louder one.
The loudest, that's the loudest toy I've ever heard.
We ignored the first
and he's
one.
doing it like slow too, just to like kind of get on my nerves. So we're gonna try to power through the shenanigans here. It's just the never-ending shenanigans.
Well, we have two dogs.
Yeah, but we've had four dogs before and did not have this level of tomfoolery.
We had some tomfoolery.
Nah. And there's going to be a little bit of tomfoolery. I encourage a little bit of tomfoolery. But the level that these two get into is just ridiculous. It's on a whole nother level. It's on a whole nother plane of existence.
They're special.
They are special. Like I was saying, I've been giving out the website fanexpohq.com, which you can go there to get tickets, but I think you have to go there and then select the Chicago show. Mm-hmm. If you go to fanexpochicago.com, it'll take you straight there.
Or you just type into Google Fan Expo Chicago.
Fan Exco?
Fan Expo. Fan Expo Chicago.
You could do that.
I don't type in. Who types in websites?
I type in websites all the time.
That's weird.
You're like the children at my school. I say, go to blah, 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 blah.com.
They will type it into Google.
They will type it into Google. It will bring up 800 different options.
But it's
options.
The first one.
Not always.
Click on it.
Not always.
Usually.
Not always. We need to be teaching the children the right way to do things. It's a manner of principle.
Go to Google.
It's a manner of principle.
Just Google.
You're feeding into the shenanigans.
Well, I like them.
You like shenanigans?
Yes.
All the time?
No.
You hesitated there, almost like you do.
Sometimes, most of the time, but no, not all the times.
So come see us in Chicago. couple weeks from when we're recording this. Actually, from when we're recording this, it's about 11 days away, I think.
What?
So we are going to have trivia. We are going to have wonderful prize bags that Jess has curated herself.
Yes. I make him get out everything. I want to see it all, and then I pick what goes in the prize bags.
Wonderful prizes for first, second, and third place. But for the people who just want to come and play, and maybe you didn't finish in the top three, we're going to have so many door prizes available. We're going to spin a prize wheel after trivia, and we're going to keep giving prizes away until we run out, until they kick us out.
Yes. So there is a time frame we have to abide by.
Some people there don't.
No, they don't.
Some of the people that run panels there just kind of think they're the bee's knees and that they can stay up there for as long as they want.
That's not how this works. So there's a schedule.
Oh, so now you don't want to allow shenanigans and tomfoolery.
There's a schedule, babe. There's a schedule for Googling. You just Google it. Mm. I could Google the
schedule. There should be parameters, though. There should be parameters that everybody should have to follow, and I'm a big believer in playing by the rules and doing things the right way. No half-stepping.
I'm not half-stepping. I'm just Googling. We open the web browser, Google's going to pop up anyway.
It was Big Daddy Kane that had the song "No Ain't No Half-Steppin'," I believe.
I don't know.
What year was that, Jessica?
I don't know. What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I thought you were going to play a drop there.
No, I got some weird text on my watch about...
Oh, do you have unpaid tolls?
No. This one's about one of those pet apps. You know how you go to the doctor? Mm. You have the My Portal or the My Chart or whatever. Well, vet clinics are trying to do that too. Mm. But they can't seem to decide what app they want to use. So like for a while, the vet was using this one. Now they're using a different one. Robin has an appointment tomorrow, but that's not even what the app was saying. The app was just saying, hey, make sure you update and get the latest version.
Like, I don't think I will.
I don't think so. Until I confirm that that's the one that vet actually uses, why would I bother?
So last time we read chapter 27, The Lightning Struck Tower. I'll recap that real quick because we had some very important moments there. And this chapter 28 is going to pick up seconds after chapter 27 ended. So in chapter 27, Harry apparates himself and an injured Dumbledore back to Hogsmeade, and the Dark Mark has appeared above Hogwarts. Dumbledore and Harry head to the astronomy tower. Dumbledore tells Harry to keep on his invisibility cloak and go find Professor Snape, and as Harry is leaving, Draco Malfoy bursts in, and Dumbledore puts a binding spell on Harry. Draco says he's there to kill Dumbledore, but just can't seem to do the deed. We find out that Draco is the one who almost killed Katie Bell with the cursed necklace, and Draco is the one who almost killed Ron with the poison wine, all attempts to try to get to Dumbledore. And it turns out that Draco was able to get Death Eaters into Hogwarts using a vanishing cabinet. Four Death Eaters come in, but Draco still can't bring himself to strike the final death blow to Dumbledore when Professor Snape comes in, and it's Snape that delivers the killing curse, throwing Dumbledore off the what?
The parapet.
The what? That was not the word I was looking for.
Ramparts?
The ramparts.
Oh, sorry.
Or the ramparts he fell.
The fourth wing is the parapet.
The parapet.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to...
Google that one?
Give me a little... you have some think music I can...
Yeah, right here.
Or a whole new roof. Frederick Roofing, 645-2000.
I looked up parapet and it said parapet definition, parapet fourth wing.
Fourth wing!
Were the first two choices. A parapet is a low protective wall along the edge of a roof, bridge, or balcony. She stood on the bridge, leaning over the parapet to watch the water race by.
Yeah, see? It's like a rampart. Well, it's parapet.
A prof- a protective wall or earth defense along the top of a trench or other place of concealment for troops.
That's not what it is in Fourth Wing, though.
Gotcha. What is a parapet in the Bible? In the Bible, a parapet refers to a low wall or barrier built around the edge of a roof to prevent falls. Specifically, the law in Deuteronomy 22:8 mandates that Israelites build a parapet around their flat roofs.
Well, that is important.
Yeah.
Safety first.
Yeah. Flat roof's not great for drainage.
No.
You wouldn't think. Yeah.
No.
I think
lots
there'll be
of
a
leaks.
Lot of, yeah, a lot of caved in roofs.
My school in elementary school had a flat roof, and they like put tar on the roof to seal it.
Mm-hmm.
But the tar would leak through the cracks, and you would just have this like weird stalactite.
like Venom symbiote.
That would like hang from the ceiling, and we'd all like watch it and be like, ooh, is it going to get longer? Is it going to get bigger? Who knows?
Yeah.
And, yeah. Usually just like froze there.
Interesting. I was wondering like if the room ever got real hot, if it like started to like drip.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because if you get that on, you said it was in your library?
It was the whole school.
Oh, the whole school.
The whole school.
I mean, if you get that on like a floor or like books, or they're ruined, right? On a couch or carpet, you know?
No, we didn't have any of that.
Gotcha. Didn't even have
tile,
air,
desk,
didn't,
chairs.
Didn't have air
no
conditioning,
air conditioning.
Right?
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, we didn't have that either. I remember a day in middle school, they sent us home early. I think it was seventh or eighth grade. Well, it had to have been seventh or eighth grade because it was the only 2 years I was in middle school.
I don't know. Never went to middle school, so.
You went to a K through eight school, right?
Yes. So I wouldn't have been able to help you there.
But I think
I
was like,
gone with it.
It was like 110 degrees or something like that, which means the heat index was even higher. And they just sent us home like at noon because it was too hot.
And there's no air conditioning in those buildings.
Yeah. The only thing you could do is open a window. Mm-hmm. And all that does.
We got ceiling fans 1 year. It was a huge deal.
Oh, wow.
Like each classroom got like two or three ceiling fans.
Wow.
Oh.
That's that private school money.
Private school money.
All right. So we talked about.
We're having trouble staying on task today.
Well, today.
More so today.
Every day. No, I had that on my checklist. I'm going to check off.
Parapet.
I'm going to check off middle school discussion. I'm going to check off flat roofs, tar leakage, and we got through chapter 27 recap. So let's move on to chapter 28.
All right. It's
cruising Flight along. Of the Prince. So when Dumbledore dies, his binding spell on Harry wears off. The Death Eaters flee the Astronomy Tower. Harry's hot on their heels. Harry even hits one of them with a full body binding curse, but really is trying to get to Snape and Draco, who kind of have a head start. And Harry's really got a one-track mind in chasing Snape and Draco. Because describe the chaos that's going on around him. Because there's just mayhem going on around Harry, but Harry's just kind of just flying through all of that. You know, there's bodies, pools of blood around him. He doesn't know if those are his friends that are either hurt or dead or dying around him because he's just so focused on getting to Snape and Draco. So who's all there for the battle and kind of like what's the scene there?
So this is very different from the movies. Mm. Now again, I haven't watched the movie in years because we stopped watching the movies to do this podcast, and we only watch the movies when we finish a book. So I don't remember exactly, but I feel like Snape hits Dumbledore, he falls, and then they're just like, Harry just chases them outside, and they're just outside. And you just kind of skip over
like teleported
everything. and that's one of the things with the books. I was like, the Battle of Hogwarts is just not in the books very much. Same with the one where they go to the Ministry. They just don't show it very much.
Maybe we'll get to see more in the TV show.
Maybe.
And they'll have more hours to play with.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so... We've talked about it so many times, like how truncated the movies feel. And even more so because it takes us so long to get through a book.
And then we watch the movie in
a
couple
hours.
And
in
the
blink
like,
of an eye, it's
what?
Over.
That's it?
Like, you missed this and this and this and this and this and this and this. But you're, sorry I interrupted you, but you're talking about like the differences between this and the movie. But what else is going on in the book? Like, who are some of the key characters that we run into here?
Well, almost everybody's there, but first he runs into Jenny and kind of deals with whoever she's fighting against. Mm-hmm. Like, just kind of sends a jinx at him and he's out of the picture. And then she tries to talk to him, but he doesn't have time. He's chasing Snape and Malfoy.
And Jenny's hanging in there against Death Eaters, mm-hmm. you know, so.
McGonagall's there fighting. Mm-hmm. He ends up tripping over Neville.
Neville's prone body.
Yeah. He's like, oh my God, Neville. He's like, I'm fine.
I'm good, man.
It went that way. So he takes off and goes after them some more. But yeah, it like you said, it's just pure chaos.
Ron's there fighting.
They said there was a mm-hmm. blonde Death Eater that was not even like trying to hit people, just shooting jinxes in every which direction. Yeah. To explode things, knock, you know, destroy walls and have rubble fall on people.
An agent of chaos.
Yes. So Harry real quick takes care of him. And yeah, he remember before he left, he told them to get the DA together mm-hmm. and to like patrol the hallways. So, you know, they're all out there in the mix.
Yeah, I didn't notice like if Luna was mentioned in the chapter.
They didn't mention
chapter.
Luna.
But was Hermione even mentioned in the chapter?
No.
Okay.
I think, you know, we don't want to mention everyone because we do know that some people are dead or hurt.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of want to leave that.
Yeah, I want to leave that
suspense.
Suspense there.
Interesting. But it's really, you know, quite a scene that I was kind of playing in my head while I was reading this. And, mm-hmm. and like you said, Harry's just tripping over bodies
jumping
slipping
over in bodies.
Blood. Yeah.
There's just blood all
and
over the place.
And every once in a while, and he's, you know, oh, Jenny's in trouble. I'll just zap this guy real quick. But then I got to get right back
to what I was doing.
My mission. Harry even gets pounced on by Greyback the werewolf and is able to fight him off.
So I do remember from the movies, like, Greyback is there. But some of the other people that they mention are not there. And a different character is there. They kind of like we only want so many people. We can only have so many named actors and actresses in this. So we're not introducing anybody new. We're just going to pull all the old familiars. And so it was a little weird because I kept waiting for like Bellatrix to show up. And for this,
she wasn't on set that day.
Yeah, she wasn't on set that day. So it was a little weird when I was reading it because I was trying to like merge the two scenes together in my brain.
That's tough to do because there are certain scenes, and I haven't watched the movies very much. I've seen all of them, but I haven't watched them over and over and over again to have committed everything to memory, mm-hmm. which is kind of, I think, to my advantage because I can kind of play my own scene in my head while I'm reading these books, and I don't really have a preconceived image or a preconceived scene that I'm trying to compare it to.
Like, I was waiting for something to happen or for somebody to show up.
But there are certain scenes in the movie that stick out to me, and then when they don't line up how they do in the book, it's a little disconcerting.
Yeah.
But like I said, hopefully with the TV, with the HBO show, we'll be able to
get more content.
Yeah, get flesh out some of the things that were kind of they skimped on in the films. And maybe Kelly will actually like this one.
Fingers crossed, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, doesn't care for the films. It seems like you mentioned some of the students who are there, but it seems like the majority of the students are kind of just hiding, and then we see them, you know, we kind of run across some who are like kind of cowering in the shadows.
Well, the DA people knew what was, well, they didn't know this was going to happen, but they were told to be on guard and be on patrol, so they were ready to just, be like, you're not supposed to be here. We're going to battle. Whereas other students are going to be like, why is this strange person in our school? They're going to be a little more hesitant.
Yeah, you would think, though, if you saw McGonagall going at it with somebody, that they would, you know, jump in and try to...
But I don't know. That was kind of like right outside Dumbledore's office. Like when he ran into the Hufflepuff kids, they had just come out of their common room, which is downstairs by the kitchen.
Probably still had crumbs on their
mouth. They were sleeping with
What's going on out
here? And so they're just coming out to inspect what's going on. They're seeing people run out the door. They're just like, Snape and Draco just went outside. What's going on?
That was kind of my next question. Like, do they not really know what's going on?
No, they don't. They just got woke up and heard some noises and came out of their common rooms.
Yeah, and I didn't know if it's like the ones that we see hiding, if those are kind of like the first and second years who don't really have any business being in something like this, or just ill-equipped. But you would think there'd be like some kind of like alarm they could sound at Hogwarts, you know?
It's supposed to be like impenetrable. It's supposed to be safe.
Yeah, but still, like, everybody knows that the Dark Lord is here. Or that the Dark Lord is back, and that there's bad, bad, bad stuff going on in the world. You would think that they... It's kind of like when... I hate to use this example, but... when we had to practice, like, the active shooter stuff at school, you know? It's something that we know is an evil in the world, and the only thing that you can do is do your best to be prepared for it. So you would think that they would have been running, like, these kids through, like, some drills, like, even just, like, lockdown stuff,
nope.
You know?
They are just, as long as Dumbledore is here, we're safe.
It's the most dangerous school.
As long as Dumbledore is here, we're safe.
In the world, other than that high school from Cobra Kai, where everybody knows karate, and they just brawl all the time. People get paralyzed. It's bad. Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the kids not really being seeming not prepared, but that was kind of the thing. You know, only the DA knows what they're doing because they practiced in secret. Mm-hmm. Umbridge didn't want them learning anything useful. So they did create grade levels, generations of kids that don't know what they're not up to par.
Even the older kids, I didn't think of that. Even the older kids have gaps in their learning. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of reminds me.
Umbridge is like the COVID year.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, I'm trying to think what grade these kids are in now.
The COVID kids?
I want to say. So. COVID shut us down in 2020.
Yes. So at the end of the year. So those kids only missed like 2 months. March, the end of March, April, May.
But you think about, if you think about the kids in kindergarten that year, the formative years, you know, preschool, kindergarten, first grade, where you kind of lay the foundation for everything. And if you don't get that foundation, you have nothing to build on. Mm-hmm. The foundation has to be solid. So
those kindergartners then missed most of first grade.
Because they were virtual. And virtual learning was a necessary thing that we had to do. And there were some advantages to it. Safety being the main thing.
Well,
but you cannot learn as well online as you can in a school.
Some kids could. I noticed, like, some kids could really focus, and you had great conversations, and they... Because I, like,
Well, those are the kids that were going to be fine anyway, though.
But they didn't get an education because of all the disruptions in the classroom.
That's true. That was one of my favorite things about virtual learning was what?
Was getting to kick them out of the classroom.
Mute button.
Mute.
And just if they, you know, I would mute them and they would unmute and start disrupting. I'd mute them again. Three strikes, you're out. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just kick you out of the classroom. with a push of a button, and it was amazing. And I did my best to, you know, make it fun and make it worthwhile and interesting. But you think about those kids who, let's say, the ones who are in kindergarten next year, they spent, at least in our district, 80% of their year online. Mm-hmm. 80% of their kindergarten year. And it's not just, you know, like the alphabet, and it's not just math, and it's not just learning how to write your name that you're missing out on. You're missing out on probably the most important thing, which is the social aspect of it. You know, how to stand in a line. Why do we stand in a line? Why do we walk in the hallway and not run? How do we play with each other, you know, safely? Mm-hmm. How do we raise our hand when we need something? Why do we raise our hand when we need something? You know, why do we wash our hands after we go to the bathroom? Something they probably don't do at home. You know, all of these basic things that they missed out on. So they go into first grade having had 20% of a real kindergarten. And I've noticed that those kids, so 20, 21, they're in kindergarten, 22, first grade, 23, second grade, 24, so they're going into fourth grade now. Mm-hmm. They're struggling, man. Like, they're struggling with everything. Like, they're struggling with writing, they're struggling with reading, they're struggling with math, they're struggling with everything. And that kind of makes me think, like, you made a great point talking about the umbrage years where they have these holes in their education. So even though they're, you know, you would think that they would be a competent wizard or witch by the time they get to their later years of school, maybe not as much as we think. Mm-hmm. Because of those of the missing teaching that they didn't get, quality teaching.
And particularly, she did Defense Against the Dark Arts, which is exactly what is needed.
Exactly
here.
What's needed right now. Yeah.
So they're very lacking in education for that.
Good job, Jess. 10 points for Ravenclaw. Well done. Majority of this chapter is the chase scene. With Harry chasing after Snape and Malfoy.
And navigating the chaos.
Harry guesses that the Vanishing Cabinet escape route has been shut down, and that Snape and Malfoy will need to get off the Hogwarts grounds so they can disapparate. But even though it's just one big chase scene, I really, really liked this chapter.
Yeah?
It was stressful. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of like heart-pounding. I thought it was very well written, other than one line. Well, two lines. Hmm. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No.
One was by McGonagall and one was by Snape.
Did McGonagall just say, take that?
Yes.
Take that!
I don't know if I envision her. Have some of that! And that while you're at it! It just doesn't... I don't know. When I see McGonagall in my head, I don't see her doing that.
Shouting out things.
Yeah.
I think.
Take that, you rapscallion!
I think it was just to, like, draw attention to her. But, yeah.
I thought it was really. It was a long, stretched out chase scene, but it didn't feel long. It felt like it kind of went by. And dogs have
it's a toy that has frozen food, goodies, treats in it.
Where's she going?
She thinks she's going to take it onto our bedroom, but I closed the gate, so she cannot take it onto our bed.
So she'll come back defeated.
But it's like a popsicle. You put stuff in this mold and freeze it, and then you put it inside this ball, so, and they have to try and get it out. And
when
they
it
keep
falls
dropping
off the couch,
it.
Why does it sound like a bowling ball hitting the floor?
It's supposed to be chew-proof, so it is solid.
Gotcha.
And Nightwing's is not chew-proof. He has proven it is not chew-proof.
As Harry gets outside, he's actually starting to close in on Draco and Snape. He finds Hagrid in a little bit of trouble, doesn't he? What's Hagrid got his hands full with?
He came out and went after the Death Eaters, but then somebody set his house on fire.
So was this the big blonde guy that was going after Hagrid? I can't remember.
I think so.
But it reminded me of the chapter when Umbridge sent her cronies after Hagrid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like four of them. And he's like fighting off four of them.
This is a little pink umbrella.
Right. So I really wasn't worried about Hagrid here.
No.
Because, you know, being half giant, it seems like, you know, he does just fine against magic.
And she threw a line in there where she's like, explained it just in case she didn't remember.
Yeah.
And was, you know, because of his mother being part giant or all giant or whatever, his skin is thicker and tougher. And so the jinxes just kind of like bounce off of him. It's like a natural shield for him almost.
I was worried about Fang, though.
Yes.
And I put a little sad face on my notes here because whoever Hagrid was fighting lit Hagrid's hut on fire with Fang inside.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's low, man. Like, you know,
they probably didn't know there was a dog in there, but also if they knew, I don't think they would care. But
I it's almost like, hey, I'm not winning this fight, so I'm going to do something else to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know. But Fang does survive, so it's not one of those things where you got to go to the movie and worry about if the dog's going to not make it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a website. I forget what the name of the website is, but it's like doesthedogdie.com or something like that.
You could just Google it.
And you can look up.
You don't have to put in the website. Oh, my goodness.
Two bowling balls just hit the ground within seconds of each other.
And they jump down off the couch and pick it up and take it back up on the couch.
It's like Robin threw hers on the ground. I think Nightwing got like jealous. So I could do that too.
His is probably empty because he can get through his pretty quick. So he's probably getting frustrated because it's empty.
In the book, it said that Harry gets within 20 yards of, my goodness, the bowling ball. It like startles me.
The when bowling it happens.
It's like, I think like somebody's coming through the roof. Thank goodness our roof isn't flat.
Yeah, we'd have the little tar drippies.
Yeah, little stalactites, stalagmites.
Tights, yeah, hanging down. Sometimes it's just a bubble.
Mm. Just kind of makes me think of like the Venom symbiote.
Yeah, we went to a Venom school.
So in my book, it says that Harry gets within 20 yards of Snape and Draco. Did yours say 20 yards as well?
I don't remember.
I'm just kind of surprised that it said yards.
Oh, because it's British.
Because we're like the only people in the world who who use that. It just kind of makes me think of that George Washington skit that we just watched from Saturday Night Live. It's like, now that we are free to come up with our own units of measurement. 90% of the world will use meters. We will use yards. Interesting.
It says right there, 20 yards apart.
Because yours is the Ravenclaw edition, and that's usually pretty true to the original publishing.
Yes, but this is the second to last book. So at this point, she was writing it for Americans.
Gotcha.
It was just really the first book, and then maybe a little bit the second, third. It's going again.
Ah,
bowling
ball.
I tried to warn you. He actually nudged it off this time. I watched him like use his nose to flip it off the couch.
Hurts my soul. So after missing a stupefy, Harry starts pulling out some unforgivable curses.
Ooh.
So this may be an obvious question, but what's the depth of Harry's desperation here that he's willing to try these curses? We got another bowling ball coming?
Almost. She looked like she was going to flick it off the couch.
She's going to flick me off?
No, she's going to flick it off the couch. She was nudging it to the edge. Yeah, I kind of started to bring that up, but then I think the bowling balls happened and we got distracted.
It startles you. It really throws you off your game.
And then when we got back on task, we were just rolling.
Like, I think, what is going on?
It's raining now.
What is going on?
The sun is out. It is bright, but it is pouring down rain. It's a day here. Okay, so you were talking about this long
chase. I don't know what
chase.
I was talking about.
Well, before, back before. You were talking about
storm
the
storm of the centuries happening out of nowhere. Shot put balls are getting dropped onto the hardwood.
You were talking about the long chase scene that didn't feel that long. And it was kind of extra long because we kind of would like take little breaks from it and just be in Harry's head and what all was going on. And, you know, we know he was upset. We know he's afraid for his friends. And he kind of recognizes that this doesn't make any sense and that it's pointless. But he's got this desperate urge to get Snape and Dumbledore back together and will fix everything. And this is like what's driving him to do this. And he does kind of acknowledge and know that that's not going to fix everything, but he also acknowledges, I can't help it. I have to do this. I have to get to Snape. I have to make him come back.
Any means necessary.
And fix this.
Even if I got to torture him.
Yes. So, and he knows that we're getting close to the gate. We know that once he's through the gate, he can separate and be gone and, you know, completely out of Harry's reach. But yeah, he's desperate. He wants to get Snape and get him back to fix it, even though he knows you can't really fix it.
So we've got to talk about the ease in which Snape is blocking these spells from Harry. Snape even says, blocked again and again and again until you learn to keep your mouth shut and your mind closed, Potter. So is Snape just that much more of a capable wizard, or is it more Harry telegraphing his spells by calling them out, or is it Snape getting into Harry's head?
All of the above. Yes, because I mean, he says until you can close your mouth and your mind, so he's seeing it in his mind. He can hear what Harry's about to say.
It's almost like a spidey sense,
and also he's just that good.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't be like the Dark Lord's second if he wasn't.
We talked about that in the last chapter, how when Snape came into the room, into the astronomy tower, even the werewolf kind of
crunched down,
tucked his tail between his legs, you know, and kind of showed his belly. So we know that Snape is an awesomely powerful wizard, but so's Harry. I mean, Harry's gone toe-to-toe with Voldemort. Granted, not like a full power Voldemort at the time, but
and also, I don't know, somebody will debate this with me, but it wasn't like a full blown battle. Like, Voldemort was kind of like
playing with his food a little bit,
testing the waters. Like, what is so special about you? I can't figure you out. I'm just gonna poke around.
Yeah. And then Voldemort kind of went, oh.
Oh, okay. Well, I misjudged that one. But he is, like you said, he's running through the castle, through the chaos, and just being like, oh, saving Jenny, saving these people, stopping that guy. And there was a moment in there where I got a little annoyed with it, that he could just like walk in and...
Oh, I'm the chosen one.
And take... Like, people are sitting there locked in a battle, back and forth, and he's just like, gotcha.
Well, it is easier, like, if you're...
Sneak attacking?
Yeah.
That's kind of what he was doing.
Like, if you were fighting somebody, and I just came up behind that person and just, like, punched him in the face.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. You distracted him for me.
Yeah.
But there was another line where it was just like... He just, like, flung a curse and it hit somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't even know where they were, but, you know, he's just that good.
So why is Snape so offended by the term coward?
We don't know.
Really, 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 really upset when Harry calls Snape a coward.
Yeah, he kind of, like, according to the description, like, he kind of loses it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was had himself under control. He's just blocking. He's, like Harry said, he's not fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
He's just blocking, just kind of biding his time. And then he kind of loses it when Harry calls him a coward. But then he brings up James and says, you know, well, your dad wouldn't fight me unless it was 4-on-1. Mm-hmm.
So who's the real coward?
So I'm assuming it's something goes back to that. Like, mm-hmm. they would bully him and call him a coward, or, you know, probably like bully him to make him like cry or something. And then like calling him a coward and a baby or whatever.
James and his friends were kind of jerks.
They were. They were. 100%.
So the big reveal in this chapter, Snape divulges that he is the Half-Blood Prince. Something that even I knew was coming, even though I haven't read these books yet. But we don't really get to see Harry really process the information in this chapter. But Snape has known for some time that Harry had access to Snape's old textbook, right?
He suspected.
Like, ever
but
since
he didn't have proof,
ever
but he
since
suspected.
Snape found Draco all sectum semper'd up and wanted to see Harry's textbooks. So Snape had to have an idea because, mm-hmm. I mean, this was my other line that I had the issue with witch.
Yeah, they're witches.
Yeah, there are witches. There do be witches in this book. This is the other thing I had, the other line I had an issue with. Snape kind of goes, "'Tis I, the Half-Blood Prince," or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't smooth, but yeah.
No, it was very like over-the-top, like James Bond villainy. Yeah, "It was I all along, the Half-Blood Prince."
And yeah, because Snape suspected that he had the book. He did not have proof, but he suspected that he had the book. But he didn't know that Harry was like hero-worshipping.
Mm-hmm.
The book.
Mm-hmm.
Or thinking that it was his dad or anything like that. So for it to be a big reveal like that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Because, I mean, it would have made sense if you just left it. Why would you use my spells against me? I knew you had my old book. Blah, blah, blah.
That was the other thing I was going to bring up. I didn't have it in my notes, but it kind of made me think of it. When Snape says, I think Harry tries to use Sectum Sempra.
Yeah.
And Harry's, or Snape says something like, "How dare you use my own creations against me? Who are you? Your dad?" So apparently James and his bully friends have done that before too.
Yeah, they probably like stole Snape's book or something. Like
oh, you like, came up
took
with
his
a new
bag
spell?
Away and like dumped it out and then yeah. saw his book and, you know, saw all the writing and was like, "What's this?" And
it's really hard to root for James and his buddies. You know, it's really hard to root for the Marauders.
Well, so it's been coming up on my Facebook a lot the last like 2 weeks about how Harry and his friends, his crew, like the DA, not just Ron and Hermione, are not the Marauders, because that's just the four, but are the same as James and his group. We got a standoff.
The dogs are just staring at each other. It's very, very disconcerting.
But it talks about, you know, like, obviously Harry is James. They talk about how Lupin and Hermione are the same, because they get discriminated against for something, and it just kind of like compares them all and says that like they're the better versions of the original Order of the Phoenix group.
Yeah, they're the group if they were not jerky bullies.
Yes.
Just horrible people.
They, and this is, like, it keeps popping up on my Facebook feed, these different articles about this.
Just about how the parallels between
the two groups.
Yeah. I gotcha. It makes sense. I'll give you another 5 points for that.
Yay.
That's good. Bring a lot of good stuff to the discussion today. So Snape and Draco are able to get away. Harry helps Hagrid put out the fire in Hagrid's hut. Thank goodness Fang is safe. But it's Harry that has to break the news about the death of Dumbledore. And Hagrid doesn't believe it until they see the crowd forming at the base of the astronomy tower.
And that's kind of a rough little bit there where Harry's trying to get it out. And Hagrid's just like, no, he's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
And you know as the reader that...
That it's not.
It's not.
And Harry's just like... He's just like, okay, well, you'll find out eventually. I don't have the energy in me anymore to argue with you.
Not, and it's not like something you want to be right about.
No.
So it's not, I'm not going to convince you of this horrible thing, you know. I think the thing that broke my heart the most was at the end when Fang howls, just because even Fang's aware of the gravity of the situation. And that's pretty much chapter 28. More big stuff happening. And we're getting toward the end of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Anything you want to add before we get into email time?
No, just two more chapters.
I got a surprise for you. I got two emails today.
What?
One is kind of a... thought-provoking thing for you. The other thing is kind of related to Fan Expo. Somebody emailed in, so I wanted to get that email out. These emails come to us courtesy of broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com. And the first one comes from Catherine, not our Catherine.
Not our, okay.
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yeah, says, that's not our Catherine.
Says, hello from Iowa. I'm happy for you that you were invited back to Fan Expo this year, but does this mean that Enchanticon fell through? I thought I remembered you saying that you would be attending the St. Louis show that same weekend. So we will not be at Enchanticon that weekend in St. Louis. We were planning on doing that. We were planning on doing that instead of Fan Expo, where we have a great time at every year, and we're grateful to be invited back.
But we were going to give Enchanticon a try.
Because it's here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it's, you know.
When we did it, or we didn't do an event, but we went to it when it was LeakyCon in Chicago 2 years ago.
Right.
And I was kind of excited to see how it had changed and grown.
Open it up to more fandoms. And the fact that it was in, you know, it's 20 minutes from our house.
Yeah, big perk.
That's
there.
A big selling point. And so
don't have to travel, don't have to leave the dogs.
We talked to the Enchanticon people. They were all on board with us bringing our now famous Harry Potter trivia event to Enchanticon. And because of that, we had to pass on Fan Expo.
Why is everything always on the same weekend?
I don't know. But I guess maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, whenever, I forget when we announced that we were going to Fan Expo, got an email from the Enchanticon people that said that they did not want a Harry Potter trivia event. They said we could make it just general fan trivia for whatever fandoms are being represented at Enchanticon, but they did not want, we were already approved, but they changed their mind and said that they did not want us to do
what we had offered to do. They wanted us to come up with something different.
Yeah. And I was a little taken back by that. It did catch me off guard. And I get it. There's, you know, Enchanticon, and really all the Comic-Cons, are very friendly to everybody.
Trying to be very inclusive.
And they pride themselves on that. And we know that the author of these amazing books is maybe not so...
She's having trouble controlling her thoughts and words.
Yeah, maybe not so welcoming to all people and lifestyles. And I don't know if that played a role in it. But then I also heard a rumor that Enchanticon wanted to do their own Harry Potter trivia. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know. I didn't. I was curious the other day. The thought popped into my head, and I thought about looking at their schedule to see if there was something, but I didn't. I just was like, nah, it's over.
So I'm not upset about it. You know, it's their show. They can do whatever they want with it. But I guess I was more perturbed by the fact that we were invited, approved, and I even told them, I said, look, we normally go to this other show, but it's St. Louis, man. Like, I want to do good things for our... I love when good things happen for our city. Mm-hmm. I love when positive things, especially, are happening downtown. Because it seems, you know, in my lifetime, the negative things about St. Louis have outweighed the positive, especially like on a national and worldwide stage and people's interpretation of our city here, which I love. And I wanted to be a part of that. But I guess the thing that caught me off guard is that you invite us, you approve what we want to do, say it sounds great. We cancel other plans that we would have had with people that we've already built a relationship with the Fan Expo people who have had us back. I guess this is our third year in a row.
Yeah.
Then we'll be back with them. And we've got a really good relationship with them. We're thought of very highly by them, and we think of very highly of them. But we put that on hold for the St. Louis event, and then... like the rug gets pulled out from underneath us. And, you know, I don't hold any ill will. It was a little disconcerting. It caught me off guard a little bit. But I want them to have a great show. Because I want the city, I want positive things to happen for the city. And it's happening at Union Station downtown, which used to be the main, you know, train station, you know, for the city. And then it became like a shopping mall for a while, and now they've kind of rebuilt it. They've got the aquarium there, and they've got
one of those ropes courses,
mirror maze, and the Ferris wheel, and the carousel, and a huge Build-A-Bear store.
It is,
you know, it's like the Build-A-Bear headquarters. So I want positive things to happen, and positive things are happening down there with the construction that they've done there, and with the soccer stadium right across the street there, that's, you know, every game sold out, even when they stink like they do this year. I love stuff like that, and I want them to have a good show. I want it to be well attended, because I want them to come back. You know, I want conventions to come to St. Louis, you know, because it's good for, you know, to bring... financially, it's good to bring money into the town. You know, people are staying at the hotels, people are eating at the restaurants. You know, that encourages more people to build businesses downtown when so many have left the downtown area. Not just businesses, but residents, you know. But I don't know what I've kind of rambled on enough. So we won't be at Enchanticon, unfortunately. But if you're planning on going, don't not go on, like, to stand in solidarity with us. We're good. We're going to be, we'll go see our friends in Chicago, and hopefully you guys will have a great show on Enchanticon too. You got any thoughts?
Enchanticon sounds like they have, I was very disappointed. They sound like they have some fun stuff going on. You know, a lot of the books that I read, the fantasy books, have a good representation there. When it was LeakyCon, it was a Harry Potter convention, we went up to Chicago. That was like one of the first times that I saw like Throne of Glass merch just being sold. And not Throne of Glass, yeah, Throne of Glass and Court of Thorns and Roses merch just being sold. And I found a pin for Fourth Wing back when Fourth Wing like had just come out. it was really cool to see those things and fandoms that don't get, you know, books just, unless they get made into a movie, they don't get that kind of attention where you can buy things that have to do with a book series that you like. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I was looking forward to seeing more of that.
It's a cool concept for a show, too. You know?
They had the podcasters were going to be there and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they were doing a fantasy ball. And they're doing a lot of fun stuff.
So, like, this is like a right up Jess's alley.
Yes, it's like all of my things.
Yeah. But, you know, I wish them well. And, you know, I, like I said, harbor no ill will toward them. It's your show. You have every right to do whatever you want with it. And I'm just going to keep talking in circles here. So I think I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, you said we have another email.
We do have another email. This one will be a little bit more positive. This one comes from Lyra in Tempe, Arizona. You're not going to say hi to Lyra?
Hi, Lyra.
I thought that was kind of your thing.
Sorry, I was scratching my
still
nose.
Still sad about Enchanticon.
I was scratching my nose.
Lyra says, hello, Rhinos. Thanks for the fun shows and keep them coming.
We're doing that right now.
No, this is our last one.
Oh.
With the Harry Potter reboot happening and Cursed Child going to more and more cities, is it finally time that we get Harry Potter the musical? Seems like a no-brainer, and I can't believe it hasn't happened yet. You want to see Harry Potter the musical?
I mean, sure, why not? But, so, we've seen...
I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet. Like, they make everything into a musical.
Yeah.
Now.
Apparently, you know how we saw Puffs?
Uh-huh.
There is a musical version of Harry Potter that's kind of like that, not official.
Yeah.
It's like
is that the one in Vegas?
Very Potter musical or something. Yeah. I don't know, but
potted Potter or something.
I thought it was Very Potter musical or something. I don't know, but there's a bunch of people at work that give me a really hard time. They do not understand. They cannot comprehend how I'm a Harry Potter fan and I have not seen these musicals.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like I'm sorry. Have you seen Puffs? Like, that's my counter.
So that's kind of like a smaller scale presentation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And it's not official. Like, they're using the content, but also.
But like Lyra, I think, is talking about like a big Broadway one. Mm-hmm. You know, you get somebody famous to write it. When I saw this email, the first thing I thought of was the sorting scene and how, you know, to be like, what house are you gonna get? What house are you gonna get? And then like the Slytherins would all stand up and they would sing about what's it like to be in Slytherin and what kind of people go into Slytherin and, you know, the characteristics of Slytherin. And then the Hufflepuffs get up with their, you know, snacks in their hands, you know, talking, we love everybody and we just want to be friends. I don't know. As soon as I saw this email, I saw it kind of playing out in my head, and it just makes so much sense that I can't believe it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but we were just saying how you can't get all this stuff into a movie. How are you going to get it into a musical and add like musical numbers?
Yeah.
Like what you're saying, that whole scene with them dancing and singing about the different houses would be like extra content.
Oh, it'd have to be like a 30-hour musical.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were going to go that long. But if you want to do that, then you can fit it all in.
And I can finally get my fantasy casting that I talked about many, many, many episodes ago of Neil Patrick Harris's Gilderoy Lockhart. I haven't heard any rumors or anything about that. But that would be my dream casting for the TV show.
Yeah.
Would be Neil Patrick Harris. But especially if we're doing a
musical.
If we're singing and dancing, then it's got to be him.
I feel like even if it wasn't a musical and he played Gilderoy, Gilderoy would sing and dance.
So we should have our favorite Slytherin, Kelly, like cast this thing, because she knows all the Broadway people. She'd have to put Kristen Chenoweth in there somewhere. She'd have to put all her faves in there. But so, Kelly, go ahead and send me the casting call for the.
You'll get to work on the songs.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody's going to do it, might as well be me. Mm-hmm. and choreography. I would assume that I'd also be choreographing. Choreographing. It's been a long show.
It has. There's been a lot going on. It's not raining anymore.
Torrential downpour.
The sun is still out.
Being attacked by cannonballs.
Cannonballs.
Cannonball fire. Yeah. Been a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, Harry Potter musical, bring it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, how did Cursed Child, like, that? Because that's approved by J.K. Rowling, right?
Yeah. So, like,
so I wonder, like, did somebody, like, go to her first and say, hey, I got this idea? Or did somebody go to her with a completed script and say, like, you want to look this over? You want to make some money for not doing anything? I just got to sign off on it. And we can even make it two nights. So you got to buy two tickets.
And probably that person knew somebody in her circle.
Yeah, in her inner circle.
I was like, my agent's cousin wrote this book.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to know somebody.
Everything gets turned into a musical nowadays. Like,
Legally Blonde.
Yeah. Everything. Like, was it my brother and my sister-in-law went to see Back to the Future, the musical. And that was her first time seeing Back to the Future. She's never seen the movie. Her first experience with it was Back to the Future, the musical.
I don't know, because it's been a long show. I thought you said, I just missed in-law. So you said, I thought you said brother and sister. So I was immediately thinking Boo and Sarah went and saw it. And then you're like, it's the first time she's ever seen him. I'm like, no, Sarah. Oh, wait. Bridget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Harry Potter the musical. Kelly, send me your casting. And I think that's going to do it. If you want to be like Catherine and Lyra, send us your emails, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com. You can also follow us on X at BroomsticksB, and you can send us messages on there, and we'll give you a shout out. You can message us and connect with us on Blue Sky. Let me get the Blue Sky numbers. Hopefully we haven't lost anybody because I haven't been posting on Blue Sky.
What?
729 followers. So I don't know if that's more or less than what we said on the last episode. But we're on Blue Sky. You can follow us there. That's how K-Tape Emily first connected with us. Send us messages on there. Facebook. Broomsticks and Butterbeer. You can message us on there. You can connect with Jess on the Broomsticks and Butterbeer Instagram, BroomsticksB Podcast.
I do post on there occasionally.
And drop her a message on there. Anything else, Jess? Are we done?
We're done.
Our brains are definitely done.
Definitely done.
We might as well have the podcast be done too. Shout out to our inner circle. Jennifer, Catherine, Amelia, Jane, Ronnie, Anastasia, Kelly, Olivia, and baby Jenny. And we will be back next time with the penultimate.
There you go. You got to use your fancy words.
Of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Two chapters left, and then we're on to the final book in the series, mm-hmm. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It's been a long journey, and we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Or just the end of the tunnel.
We're just going to run into a wall. The tunnel ends here.
It's done.
Everybody jump off. Until next time, be a wizard, be a witch, be a muggle, be a squib, but don't be a jerk.
Or a git.
And we'll see you in Chicago.
Bye. No time a joke, that game, puzzle, a riddle. The name is Big Daddy, yes, big, not little, so define it. Here's your walking papers, sign it, and take a walk as the canes start to talk, cuz.